This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
The epistle lesson for this morning comes from the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the very end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus has been raised from the dead at this point, and he is about to take his leave of his disciples. And this is what we read. Now the 11 disciples, remember there were 12, and Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas dies by his own hand. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. Today is, in fact, Christ the King Sunday. It is a day we pause to emphasize the lordship of Jesus in our lives. As Christians, we know Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. As we heard in the epistle lesson, Jesus is the fullness of God, the visible image of our invisible God. And that is, the more we learn about Jesus and know him personally, the more we know God. As Christians, we understand Jesus is the head of the church. He is the firstborn of the dead. That is, he is the first of the resurrection. Through Jesus, God has brought peace and reconciliation to all creation. As individuals, then, and as part of the universal church, we carry out the mission Jesus gave us, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to live the way Jesus wants us to live. In other words, our mission is to spread the good news of how much God loves us. Now, on this earth, the church, the universal church and the particular church, the individual churches, the church is Christ's body. And that means that it is alive. The church is an organic thing. And like all living organic things, the church is not static. it is constantly changing, evolving. And sometimes it seems the church is barely changing at all, so slow it's hard to notice. Sometimes those changes are happening so fast, our heads are spinning. Imagine, if you will, that we are Jesus' followers the year he died, in about 30 AD. At that time, the church is rural. The church is rural. Most of Jesus' followers are country folk. We are probably all Jewish, and we speak Aramaic in public, though we speak in Hebrew when we are reading the Bible or reading the scriptures and talking about it. We read our scriptures from a scroll, and we worship on the Jewish Sabbath, which is Saturday. Now, by the year 100, things have changed. By 100, followers of Jesus have radically changed. As followers of Jesus in 100 AD, we almost certainly live in a town. Okay, the church is now a thoroughly urban institution. We are probably Gentiles, and we certainly speak Greek, even when we are reading and discussing the scriptures. And speaking of scripture, by 100 AD, scrolls are hopelessly passé. Now we read our scripture on a codex, like it's like a pamphlet is what our scriptures are written on. Now we can flip through our scriptures rather than endlessly rolling and unrolling a long scroll. And speaking of passé, so is worshiping on Saturday. That is so Jewish. As good Christians, we worship God on Sunday. In just 70 years, then, the church has gone through this tremendous change. Raise your hand if you're 70 or older. Come on. Oh, my Lord. Ooh, put those hands down. My goodness. Friends, it is in your lifetime that the church has gone through this radical change. Just in your lifetime, this is how much the church has changed. And of course, it doesn't stop there. In 314 AD, Christianity becomes an officially recognized religion of the Roman Empire. By 400 AD, Saint Jerome has translated the Bible into Latin, and then Latin, not Greek, becomes the official language of the Bible and the church for the next 1,000 years. But then in the 1400s, the Bible starts being written in the language of the people, English, French, German. And in the 1500s, the Reformation gathers steam, and before we know it, Protestantism is born. Puritans, pilgrims, and others bring the church to America, to the new land. And as immigrants spread out across America, they take the church with them. No town is really a town until it has several churches in it. Before long, then, Christianity is the de facto national religion of these newly United States of America. By this point, the church has come a long way. There's been a lot of change. New languages, new ways of reading, new places and ways of worshiping. The landscape of the church radically changed since 30 AD, and there's more to come. In the 1950s, the landscape begins changing in a hurry. The mid-1950s are the high water mark for voluntary societies in America. Social clubs, civic groups, and so forth, they all reached their peak in the 1950s. And since then, voluntary societies in America have been on the decline. The Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, you name it. When was the last time you saw the International Order of Odd Fellows or the Woodsmen of the World? How many people are banging on the door of the Masonic Lodge trying to join? And furthermore, those who do join want to be a part, but they don't want to be in charge. They want to participate, but they don't want to be the secretary, the treasurer, or any of those other important jobs. It's what we call the bowling alone phenomenon. In 1995, a Harvard professor was doing a study of social cohesion, what makes a society stick together. And as part of that study, he studied bowling leagues between the mid-1950s and the mid-1990s. And what he found was just as many people were bowling in the 1990s as they were in the 1950s. The difference was that in the 1950s, everyone was bowling in a league. In the 1990s, they were bowling alone. Since the 1950s, churches like the Kiwanis and Lions and every other voluntary society in America have been shrinking. And there are lots of reasons for this. People are busier now. They have fewer children. They're turned off by what they perceive as the hypocrisy of the church. There are lots of reasons. But the main reason is social change. If you look in your bulletins, there's a handout there, the next to last page, 9 reasons why even committed Christians are attending church less. Look at that. All of those, except perhaps maybe number 9, all of those are about society. They are about culture. As a culture, we are not joining groups as much as we used to. We're still bowling, but we're bowling alone. And what's more, it's not going to stop, my friends. It is not going to stop. According to the Gallup organization in 1937, 73% of Americans belonged to a house of worship. They belonged to, okay? They didn't just say, I'm Christian, Jewish, whatever. They were a member of a church, a synagogue, whatever. In 2021, only 47% of Americans belonged to a house of worship. In our own denomination from 2013 to 2017, attendance in worship dropped 24.5%. Contributions declined by 15%. In our synod, the Synod of Lakes and Prairies, that be us, from 2013 to 2017, the decline in attendance was 25%, contributions down by almost 37%. The latest data from the Pew Research Center. The latest data from the Pew Research Center tells us that by 2070, okay, just barely 50 years from now, 50% of Americans will have no religious affiliation at all. Within the next 50 years, 50% of all Americans will have no religious affiliation at all. You ask them, what's your religion? They will say, I have no religion. No religious affiliation at all. The landscape has changed. The landscape has changed, and we have to change with it. The church has to change with it. Let me back up just a little bit. Back in 1803, I'm drawing here from a man named Bolsinger in his book, Canoeing the Mountains. Back in 1803, who was president of the United States? Some of you were there, weren't you? Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States. He was our third president. And like most people at that time, Jefferson was convinced that there was a river that flowed from the headwaters of the Missouri across the country to the Pacific, Ocean. And if someone could just find that river, they could get to California in weeks rather than months. Commerce would flourish. We would all be rich. If someone could just find that river. And so in 1803, President Jefferson hired two men to go looking for that river. They were William Clark and Meriwether Lewis. Lewis and Clark were ideal men for this mission. They were frontiersmen, right? They knew how to build a shelter, ride a horse, shoot animals, and cook them for food. But they were also river rats. They knew how to build boats and canoes. They knew how to make paddles. They knew how to navigate on water and how to draw a map while they were on the move. Lewis and Clark were ideal for this mission. Find the Pacific Ocean. That was the mission. Find an overland route to the Pacific Ocean. So off they went with their crew, heading north up the Missouri River. And finally, they got there. They were at the headwaters. They had made it. And they looked to the west. And what did they see? Did they see a grand, glorious river flowing to the Pacific Ocean? No. They saw the plains. They saw the Rocky Mountains. What were they going to do? All of a sudden, everything had changed for them. Everything had changed except their mission. Except their mission. The mission was still the same. Find a route to the Pacific. All of a sudden, these river rats had to become mountain men. And it must have been a real shock for them. They had planned for one kind of expedition, an expedition along a river, an expedition they knew how to do. And all of a sudden, they had a different kind of expedition. They had to abandon their boats. They had to hoist their packs onto their backs. They had to turn their paddles into walking sticks. So instead of using the muscles in their arms to paddle their canoes, they used the muscles in their legs to walk with packs on their backs. Instead of using fishing lines and hooks to get food, they used rifles and bullets. The landscape had changed. But the mission had not. And so they adapted. Make no mistake, the landscape we are operating in has changed. We can worship in our recliners now or the pew. We have a choice. We sing and read our scriptures on a screen. Our meetings are hybrid, by video and in person. Every year, there are more and more claims on our time. And every year, fewer and fewer people are interested in what we have to share. The old ways of worshiping and ministry and faith formation were good. They worked well, and they still matter. But we also need to learn new ways of worshiping and ministry and faith formation. Our landscape has changed, but our mission is still the same: sharing God's good news. In 30 AD, in 100 AD, in 314 AD and 400 AD and the 1400s and 1500s and the 1950s and 1990s in 2022 and 2070. The mission of the church remains the same. Baptizing, teaching, sharing God's good news. Only the landscape has changed. The most important part, the mission, remains the same. The same year that the King James Version of the Bible was printed in 1611, William Shakespeare wrote a play called The Tempest. And the play is about a young woman named Miranda. Miranda is 15 years old. And for the last 12 years, ever since she was three, Miranda and her father have lived alone on a desert island, on a deserted island. No other human beings on this island. And one day, when Miranda is 15, there is a tremendous storm, a tempest, and a ship is wrecked on their island. And after the storm stops, the passengers begin coming ashore. These, remember, these are the only other people Miranda has ever seen. And she is mesmerized. She is enthralled. She is amazed to see other people. And oh, how wonderful, how handsome, how gorgeous and marvelous they are. And Miranda cries out, oh, wonder how many goodly creatures are here. How beauteous mankind is. Oh, brave new world that has such people in it. Oh, brave new world that has such people in it. The problem, though, is Miranda is naive. She hasn't seen other people before. And what we learn as the play goes on is these people are layabouts. They're ne'er-do-wells, wastrels, the kind of people we would not invite to a party. And Miranda, sadly, doesn't know that. For many of us, especially these last few years, it feels like we've been in a storm at sea, a tempest. We've been tossed and turned upside down. We thought after the pandemic, everyone would naturally come back to church, but they haven't. We thought our giving would naturally increase, but it hasn't. We thought all we needed to grow our church were more young families. But those families have things to do on Sunday, and they're getting smaller. We thought going to church was normal and natural, and everyone else thought so too. But people who think like us have been shrinking for 70 years. And it's not going to stop. Like Miranda, we have been naive. The landscape of ministry has changed. We are stepping into a brave new world. But friends, we still matter. The church still matters. In fact, I would argue that the church is more important now than ever. Strong churches that are committed to proclaiming God's good news are more important than ever. People still want to connect with each other in honest, genuine ways. People still want a sense of stability and certainty in their world. People still want to hear of God's love. They may not know it on a conscious level, but deep down inside, they want what we have, and we can help them get it. We can help them, but first, We're going to have to turn our paddles into walking sticks. We're going to have to adapt to our new landscape. Oh, brave new world that has such people in it. Poor Miranda. She was so naive. By God's grace, we are not Miranda. We are not naive. We know people still need Jesus, even if they don't know it. We know Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is the fullness of God, the visible image of our invisible God. That is, the more we learn about Jesus and know him personally, the more we know God. We understand Jesus is the head of the church. He is the firstborn of the dead. Through Jesus, God has brought peace and reconciliation to all creation. We know this, and everyone else needs to know it too. Again, whether they realize it or not. Whether they realize it or not, everyone is hungry to know what we know. Everyone is hungry to know what we know. Yes, the landscape for ministry has changed. We are stepping into a brave new world, and that's okay. The most important thing has not changed. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is with us. God loves us now and always. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is with us. God loves us all now and always. So then, my friends, let's take our paddles and turn them into walking sticks and joyfully travel into this brave new world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to live the life Jesus has taught us to live. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.